Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you're hearing the broadcast during the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we would like to interact with you. If you have a question or something you'd like to discuss, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Good in the U.S. and in Canada. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yesterday, we read a passage out of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I just love this passage so much. We're going to read it again today.
All righty.
It says this, but God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So if we want to be voices for this good news of Jesus Christ, if we want to communicate the real gospel, we need to be ministers of the new covenant.
Yes.
Why? Because it's in this new covenant that we find life, that we experience the new life that Jesus Christ offers to each and every one of us. We can't experience new life trying to live up to the righteous standards or righteous requirements of the law. That's death to us. Why? Because we don't have what it takes to live up to those requirements. And that's exactly what Paul said in verse 7. Now, if the ministry of death, now that's a really bleak description, isn't it? The ministry of death, or the ministry that brought death, carved in letters on stone. So we know exactly what
yes.
that ministry of death was. It was the Ten Commandments, and it is the Ten Commandments. You try to live up to those Ten Commandments, it is death to you. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. That's what you're going to deserve. That's what you earn through your futile efforts, through your failed efforts. And we didn't even really need 10, did we?
No.
I mean, the first one gets
one.
All
care
of
it.
Us. Yeah. Yes, but why? Because that speaks to the idolatry in our heart. And there is not a law written on stone, typed in a book, on a constitution. It doesn't matter. There is not a law on planet Earth that can change the human heart. Only the Spirit of God can do that. And so if we want to see real transformation take place in the lives of people, if we want to see real transformation take place in our own lives, we have to focus on this new covenant. That's where we live. That's where the Spirit, the work of the Spirit is happening yeah. through this new covenant. And He's doing that work on our hearts. So He's given us a new heart, and now He's renewing our minds and getting everything lined up now with who we are in Christ and this life of faith that we now have in Jesus. So if we want to be true ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, let's learn what it means to be ministers of the new covenant. That's where it's at, folks. That's
yes,
where
indeed.
It's happening. That's where the real transformation takes place in people's lives.
Absolutely. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody, and it is good news, and we're glad that you've joined us. And in conjunction with what Bob was saying, we have a multi-CD teaching series that can help you be a voice in your community and your family and your workplace and just wherever you might be as you go through life. It's called Be a Voice, and it was created to show you how to live out who you are and as a child of God and share the good news about Jesus Christ. And with your gift to Basic Gospel this month, we're going to send you a copy of this great teaching series. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone 844-322-2742 and learn how you too can be a voice for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, donate at basicgospel.net or donate by phone at 844-322-2742. And also, we accept donations through PayPal. And currently, if you live outside the U.S. or Canada, that's the best way for you to make your donation to help Basic Gospel stay on the air with this good news of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, thanks, Bob. And we're going to continue a little bit in this discussion on the new covenant. You know, it's important for us to understand when this new covenant actually went into effect. And that's the cross of Jesus Christ. So when He died, He put an end to the old. So that old covenant was time-stamped. It had a beginning. It had an end.
Yes.
And that beginning was at Mount Sinai, some 1,500 years before Christ came on the scene. So Moses brought the people out of Egypt. They gathered after they went through the Red Sea. They gathered at Mount Sinai, and it was there that God gave the Mosaic Covenant. And so that was ratified. It was a covenant between God and the people of Israel. So it was bilateral. It was if then, if you obey my commandments and keep my statutes, then I will be your God and you shall be my people.
Yes.
Now, 3 weeks later, they're building a golden calf and bowing down and worshiping.
But that was a miracle.
That image
disappeared.
And they were actually saying, you, oh God, to this to this image that they formed with their own hands.
Uh-huh.
They were saying, you were the power that brought us out of Egypt. You were the power that set us free. You were the power that parted the Red Sea so that we could walk across on dry land. So they were giving all praise and glory to this image that they formed. That's idolatry. So they violated that covenant just right out of the chute. I mean, almost instantly. So they were a mess right from square one.
Yeah.
So, but that lasted for 1,500 years. And then when Jesus offered himself as the once-for-all sacrifice, it put an end to the old, and it ushered in the new. Now, this new is completely different than that old covenant. That old covenant was bilateral. It was a contract. It was between two parties. This new covenant is simply God's will for man. It is his decree of what he wants to give us, just simply because he wants to give us these things.
Yes.
We have no part in it other than beneficiaries, other than recipients. So this is God's desire, God's declaration carried out through the work of Jesus. So when he says your sins are forgiven, that's his gift to us. When he says that we're in relationship with him and know him, that's his gift to us. When he says that we are his people, that we belong to him forever, that is his gift to us. When he says that he is going to write his laws of faith, hope, and love on our hearts, that is his gift to us. He declared that to be so. He brought it about through Christ. We simply receive those wonderful benefits, that life, that saving life of Jesus Christ. So when did the new covenant go into effect? The day Jesus died. That's when the revolution began. That's when everything changed. In our new covenant journey Bible study guide, we call that the pivot point, the pivot from the old to the new, from death to life. Bob George, who used to be on these radio airwaves, he would say that was the dividing line of human history. We've heard other people say the same thing. So it was a significant event that marked a clear line in human history where everything changed, where the old came to an end and the new was ushered in, where we can experience life eternally.
Yeah. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'd like for you to do just that. If it's the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, well, you're hearing the live broadcast, and you can do that if you call right now, 844-322-2742 in Canada and the U.S., 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Livermore, California, and talk with William. Hi, William.
Well, hey, guys.
How are you today?
I'm good. I was listening to what you were saying about the law and our inability to keep it. But my question is, if someone were able to keep the law, all of it, would that save them?
Well, since that's a hypothetical and since that's an impossibility, it's just not the way it is. I mean, sin came into the world, death came. So our real problem was the fact that we were dead.
Yes.
So obedience to the law isn't going to bring us life. So there has to be some impartation of life. And only God can do that. Only God can bring life to those who are dead in trespasses and sins. So, I mean, we come into this world in a fallen state. We are under that condemnation, sinner was our identity. So, you know, just that fact makes it an impossibility for us to live up to those righteous requirements. We were mastered by sin. So, I mean,
right,
theoretically, Adam and Eve, I mean, they were created fully alive. And so they just had to stay in relationship with God. But when Satan came in on the scene and he stood there at that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he made it look good in their eyes, they fell in love with death and they chose death, which is interesting, isn't it? But that's exactly what Satan did, made them fall in love with death, and that's what they chose. And that just...
Right, yeah, I just thought it was important that people hear and recognize that pursuing the law is never going to achieve salvation for them. That's why Paul wrote that if a law had been given that could impart life, then Christ died for nothing, because no law was given that could make you alive.
That's right, or make you righteous.
Yeah. Yeah, the best it could do was serve, like he says in Galatians, serve as the tutor to point us to Jesus and say, if you want to fix this problem that is so well identified in the law, go to him.
Yeah, and it gets right back to our discussion at the top of the hour. Why are we ministers of the new covenant? That new covenant is the ministry of life as given to us by the Spirit of God. So if we want to really address the real problem of man, we can't do it through law. We have to do it through the new covenant. Why? Because the new covenant is the solution to death. Through that new covenant, we receive life. That's good news of the gospel, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't that why God gave man the law, to defeat self-righteousness, to show him his condition that he is a sinner and thus is dead and will turn to Christ for life?
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah. That was the spiritual purpose. I liken the law to our modern day X-ray machines, MRIs, right, PET scans, CAT scans, and you know why do we have those things? So that we can take a look inside and see what's going on. And when we find out what's going on, then we have to turn away from the PET scan or the MRI and find a solution elsewhere. So what does the law do? It forces us to take a look inside,
yeah,
and see that, hey, there's a real problem there. We've missed the mark, not just in our behavior, but we've missed the mark as human beings. And so for us to get back on track, get to where God wants us to be, we're going to have to look to God for that solution, for that answer. So once we look to God, once we turn to him by faith, once we turn to Jesus by faith, the law steps back and says, hey, I've done my work here. Man, you're fully in the arms and the care of Jesus Christ himself, the one who died, the one who loves you most.
Yeah. So after allowing the law to be that X-ray machine or whatever test that shows how bad the cancer is, and we turn to Jesus to cure the cancer, going back to the law would be about as smart as injecting yourself with cancer after being cured. And that's exactly what so many people do. We say, thank you, Jesus, for forgiveness. Thank you for life. And now help me keep the law. And you just, it's like putting a gun to your head. And yeah, it's a terrible thing.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I truly pray that many believers heard this conversation and are blessed with the truth that sets you free.
Well, thank you, William. We always appreciate your keen insights and your great questions. Thank you, my friend.
Yes, indeed. Well, friends, keep in mind that we're streaming live video every day, and you can join us on Facebook and YouTube of those channels. It might be fun to see what's happening on the inside of the studio. Also, we deeply appreciate every one of you, our listener friends, who give to keep the good news that you hear every day on Basic Gospel on the air. We need to keep up the momentum, and as we've said, we're excited to see God work through his people to keep the message here. If you haven't done so already, we invite you to join with us and make a contribution to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can phone your gift to 844-322-2742, and we're going to send you a copy of an empowering CD series that will teach you how to be a voice for the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Again, let's donate at basicgospel.net or donate by phone at 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Delta, British Columbia, and talk to Eleanor. Hi, Eleanor.
Hi. And it's verse 42 and 43. Whatsoever shall offend you, and if your hand offend you, cut it off. It's better to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go to hell into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dies not and the fire is not quenched.
Okay, so do you have a question as to what that means, or?
Yeah, like especially the worm that dies not.
Okay.
Their worm dies not.
Yeah, so Jesus is really teaching some powerful, damning truth in this particular section of Scripture. It ties into what he was teaching in the Sermon on the Mount as well. And he's saying, hey, if you're really serious about being a part of the kingdom of God, then you need to see how serious your problem is as a human being. And if you understood it and you recognized that there was a part of your body that would keep you out of heaven, that would keep you out of the kingdom, then it would make sense to get rid of that so you could enter into the kingdom of God. But there is only one way. And doing that isn't going to get you into the kingdom of God. Only being born again of the Spirit is going to get you into the kingdom of God. As Jesus said, you must be born again. So that is what Jesus is trying to push people to, is to the impossibility of making it into the kingdom through human effort. We just can't do that. Our hearts aren't where they're supposed to be. Even if we cut off the parts of our bodies that were doing things externally, it wouldn't change the nature of the heart. And so the real issue is the heart of man, and only Jesus can correct that, and he does that through new birth. So that's what he's talking about here.
Well, I'm not quite still sure about he's talking about where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. Where the worm dies. And what's the worm?
It's a reference to an eternal punishment in hell, is what it represents.
So the person is alive in the flames of fire, and the fire is not quenched.
But what he's doing there, at least in the version of Bible I'm looking at, that's a quotation. He's quoting from something, and I don't have in front of me exactly where he's quoting that from. And so he's quoting something to these people that they would understand, that they had heard before, in an attempt to show them just how serious the law is, how serious their attempts to keep it were falling short, how seriously their attempts to keep it were falling short. There's nothing here that is anything more than hyperbole. Jesus is overstating the case so that people will look at him and say, well, then how in the world can any of us be saved?
Right.
That's the point he's trying to make.
But the point is, like you also said, if you sin willfully after you've received the knowledge of the truth, there's no more sacrifice for sins, but a fearful looking for it. Help indignation.
Yeah, Eleanor, that is sinning willfully in that context is simply rejecting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So the whole 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews is about the sacrifice of Jesus. And the writer there is comparing the sacrifice of Jesus to the sacrifices of bulls and goats. And he's saying those sacrifices could never take away sin. Those priests who offered up those sacrifices, they could never sit down because their job was never finished. And so those sacrifices were lacking in effectiveness. But this once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ took away sin forever. And when Jesus offered... Listen to me, Eleanor. So when Jesus offered that sacrifice, he did so, he finished the work, and then he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. And it's through that sacrifice, through that shed blood, that we are made holy in God's sight, that we are made perfect in God's sight, and that we have the opportunity to draw near to God in perfect worship. Now, if I reject that sacrifice and I want to go back to the offerings of the old covenant, the blood of bulls and goats, then I am willfully sinning. That's a willful choice to reject the sacrifice of Jesus, go back to Judaism. And if that's the case, then all you have left is the fearful expectation of judgment. So our way out of our dilemma, both sins and the consequences of sin, so the wages of sin is death, our way out of that dilemma is the shed blood of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. So through his death, burial, and resurrection, he lifts us out of our state of death. He crosses us over to life and into this new covenant. So that's what the gospel is all about. So the willful sinning in Hebrews 10:26 is simply the rejection of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
This is why at the beginning of today's broadcast, we were so careful to talk about what the writer to Hebrews says, is that the new covenant started at the death of Jesus. This example in Mark 9 is an example of Jesus teaching under the law, not under the new covenant. Paul tells us in Galatians that Christ was born under law to redeem us under the law.
Yes.
And so we can't put together Jesus' sermons about the law with any teaching regarding the new covenant. If you do that, you ruin both.
Yes. Can't pour new wine into old wineskins.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Eleanor. We appreciate your call. We're going to go back to Canada and talk to Ryan. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, guys. Hope you're doing well. It's Ryan from Lacombe, now lives in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario.
Yeah, it's good to hear from you.
So yeah, it's great.
We just have about a minute.
Yeah, real quick, probably the same question. What's the reference to the hand to the plow, and if you return your head back, that you know you're not worthy of the kingdom, and also the dog returning to its vomit? I'm assuming that they're similar in an answer.
Well, we're either going to follow Jesus or we're not, and mm-hmm. So that's, you know, you have an old life. And, you know, that life is empty. It's of no value, really, when it comes to eternal things. And then we have the offer of Christ's life. So we're either going to receive Christ or we're not. And if we receive Christ, we don't want to go back to that old way of life. And I think that's exactly what Jesus was saying.
Once we've received him, we're in his hands. And according to his own statement, no one, nothing can pry us out.
That's exactly right. So we go forward with Jesus.
Yeah.
We don't try to bring that old life with us. We died. That old life died with Christ. We've been raised to walk in the newness of life. Well, thanks, Ryan.
Thanks. Friends, again, we thank the many of you who stand with us month by month to keep the good news on the air and online, and we hope you can continue to help us as we move forward. It's your gifts, of course, that make this ministry possible every day. Click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. And to say thanks for your help this month, we'll send you our CD series called Be a Voice. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to be with us again tomorrow as we consider hard passages. We hope you'll be with us. See you then. Bye-bye.